everybody. My name is Mercules. Welcome to episode 4 of the Massive Breakdown podcast. I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Kit Kucha and NK Cougar. You guys want to say hello?
How you doing?
What's up, Guardians?
All right, and today we were going to be planning on doing a massive breakdown of the assault rifle weapon class, but because Game Informer has been so kind as to release an absolute butt-ton of information on Rise of Iron, we thought that we would do a podcast basically breaking down everything that we learned or thought would be important or thought was cool from the information that they put out in the article today, which props to Game Informer actually convinced me to subscribe to their magazine, which I did not think would be something that would be possible.
Yep, so let's do a massive breakdown of the hype machine.
Hell yes, let's help get everyone hyped up for this. Let's get everyone amped. Oh, let's spend all the money, throw the money at the screen.
I was reading this article over lunch today, and I was just like, oh my god, oh my god. What?
Yep.
Oh my god.
And I was like, I was even bringing the, like, I had the text up on one side of my screen and I had the actual article, like the pages, and I was like zooming in on every little detail of the screenshots that they had, like all the weapons, all the armor, like studying everything, just like, oh, it's so cool. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've got so much to talk about. I've been working on summaries of this for my other Destiny media gig at Planet Destiny, and there is so much to talk about.
I know. You can literally break it down to PvP, PvE, quality of life stuff, everything. I mean, class items are going back to working with shaders. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I will pick one of the earliest things that I think we're going to talk about, which I thought was pretty cool, and it doesn't have to do with PvP, which is what I know we normally focus on. But I thought it was cool that they were talking about the new Fellwinter's Peak social space.
Yeah.
And something that I saw was that Barrett says there are lots of secrets, and there's a whole portion of Fellwinter's Peak that's normally locked except for during special events, kind of like that same Iron Banner area of the tower. But he says there are some secret ways to get back there. So
now you
I'm
have
looking
my
forward
attention.
To seeing that, because I run around the tower all the time in Destiny trying to jump on top of stuff and trying to get into secret areas. And the fact that they're basically straight up telling us that there's an area that's locked that normal people can't get into, but you can figure out a sneaky way to get into it, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I missed that tweet. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah. So, real, real stoked about, you know, anytime there's something that's hidden, I know the community is going to find it in 2.5 hours after the game releases, because they always do. Like, the first week that Trials of Osiris. Yeah, the first week that there was Trials of Osiris and someone had already found that hidden room at the shrine, like within the first hour. It's like, how did you even find that so quickly? But it's going to be the exact same thing. When you've got 30 million registered accounts, you know, they're exploring every nook and cranny within minutes of the game being released.
Yep.
I'm curious as to whether or not we're going to see any new vendors at this Fellwinter's Peak social space.
So I can tell you about one right now. I was actually just reading about Tyra Karn, who's going to be the archivist at Fellwinter Peak. So I was kind of wondering, you know, what's the point of having a third social space going to be? What are we going to go there for? And this is one big part of it. So we're going to talk about the artifacts at some point here. And
oh, yes.
The way that you get the artifacts is kind of cool. So Tyra Karn, it was like her character is like the historian of the Iron Lords. And so every week she offers a set of weekly bounties. We don't know how many or what they're going to require of us, except that you can do most of them in the Plague Lands, which makes sense. But if you complete all of those weekly bounties on a character, you get a single Iron Lord's Legacy token, which you can then redeem at Tyra Karn for one of three artifacts that she'll be selling each week. Every week she's going to have a set of three, presumably randomly chosen artifacts from among the 8 new artifacts that are available. And so I guess if you're an industrious guardian, you can get all three of those every week. And because, in case you haven't heard, they're class agnostic.
Yep, there are no class restrictions on any of these.
That means you won't have to miss out. And so you can, you know, make sure that you just always have every artifact available, as long as you are busting your butt to get those weekly bounties done. So I'm super stoked for that.
I'm very interested in these artifacts. We've got some that look like they could be absolutely game-breaking in PvP.
Yeah, I'm saying while we're here, let's go ahead and talk about the artifacts.
Let's do
because
it.
We can come back to all that other stuff later, but the artifacts right now are some of the biggest things to come out. So I'll just go over really quickly and say the name of the artifact and what it does. We've got Memory of Radagast, which makes it to where if you're using a sword as a heavy weapon, you can actually reflect energy-based projectiles back. That includes everything from an Ogre's Blast in PvE to a Crucible opponent's Rocket in PvP, and I would like to assume also the Sleeper Simulant Bolt, which I think will be very, very funny to see.
Oh, man. Total Jedi right there. That's awesome.
It does seem interesting. I don't think it's quite as... it's more of a gimmick compared to some of these that we've got coming up on the list that I think will drastically alter the player versus player landscape.
I'd agree with that, but can you imagine someone trying to shoot you with a rocket and bouncing the rocket back in their face? I know it's a gimmick,
oh,
but
it's
I
gonna
cannot
be
wait
great
to do that. I cannot wait to do that, though. Then we've got Memory of Perun, which says if you bear her artifact into battle, guardians with full supers will be highlighted yellow, and guardians with low health will be highlighted red. So that's a good situation.
That's going to work wonders for team shooting.
Yeah.
One note on Perun there. It's actually enemy guardians with full supers highlighted yellow, but all enemies with low health are highlighted red. So that's PvE as well.
Yep, there you go. My mistake. I was focusing on PvP.
Oh, yeah.
But he is right. It is all enemies. Then we've got Memory of Jolder, which completely eliminates the sprint cooldown, which people have hated endlessly. Since the very beginning of the game, every person in the game has hated the sprint cooldown. Turns out they put it in there for a reason, and this artifact will actually let you completely get rid of the sprint cooldown.
That's going to be, I think, the most widely utilized one. That's a great utility artifact to have.
One of my clanmates posted on our clan Slack immediately that this is the only spoiler that he is excited about and cares about, is that he can now sprint without getting locked.
And then Memory of Silamar, if that's how the name is pronounced, which I hope, actually dramatically reduces any damage inflicted through DOT effects, like damage over time, like Thorn, the Sunseer
grenades
will light you on fire. There you go. Firebolt grenades. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. It's because I don't see them anymore in the Crucible.
Yeah, they're gone.
Not as many people are using them. Not as many people are using them anymore. But it actually nerfs DOT effects on you, which it specifically points out will be very, very welcome because Thorn is coming to year 3. So
I don't know if I'm excited or angry.
Well, let's get into Thorn later. Let's finish the artifacts yet.
Yep. All right, moving on to Fellwinter, this time not associated with a shotgun, but something that could be equally as cheap.
Oh, I'm psyched.
You lose your super, but you gain an extra grenade and melee charge and a boost to all your stats, and orbs that you pick up recharge your grenade and melee abilities.
So essentially, this is the Night Stalker artifact.
That one is going to be very, very cool to use in PvP, and I'm already foreseeing an event where someone goes into trials, gets there super early, uses it, switches to this artifact, and then has two grenades, two melees, and a boost to all stats for the entire rest of, you know, that game.
Mercules.
I'm already foreseeing that.
Why would you tell people to do that? That was our secret. We could have...
I didn't tell people to do it. I just said other people are going to be doing it. But yes, I'm already foreseeing that causing people to curse the name of Fellwinter like they haven't since House of Wolves.
We needed a reminder as to why we hated Fellwinter in the first place.
And it even says, Fellwinter was an Iron Lord with good intentions, but sometimes questionable and unusual ways of interacting with the light. And this is, again, questionable and unusual.
So what do we got next?
We've got Gleon. Gleon?
Gellion? I always said Gellion.
It's probably Gellion. I don't know why I was pronouncing it Gleon, but whatever. All right, Gellion. Guardians that wield this artifact will gain detailed radar at all times and radar persist when aiming primary weapons. So it's basically like the Keen Scout radar from the Night Stalker mixed with the Third Eye perk from your primary weapons, which will be pretty useful, especially for those classes that didn't get an exotic that could allow them to keep their radar up when aiming primaries. Not that many people use that anyways. But it'll be really nice to have because you won't even have to have Third Eye on one of your weapons as one of the recommended perks. You get it automatically with the artifact.
Yeah, super handy, I would imagine, for a lot of different playstyles in the Crucible.
I think that one's going to be a really popular one, honestly, just because of how useful it's going. Not game-breakingly useful, but just all around really useful.
Yeah.
Speaking of game-breakingly useful, I have this next artifact is the one that I think will have a nerf within 2 weeks.
The Memory of Skorri.
Absolutely.
Yep. You glow with an inspiring light that speeds up your super recharge for all nearby allies. And I think you were suggesting coupling it with the Stormcallers perk.
Three Stormcallers on a skirmish, trials, whatever team. All of them have Electrostatic Mind. All of them have Memory of Skorri. If there is not a limit on how many times you can stack this, you're going to be looking at trials matches where you have three Stormcallers going at the same time every other round.
And I can already see the amount of rage that that induces. Very, very, very potent if that if it's actually that effective. You know, we don't know how much it's going to speed up your super cooldown, but at this point in time, it looks like it could be a very, very viable strategy with the information that we have.
You know, I want to point out with that one, too, just another reason to wonder if it's going to get nerfed pretty quickly. Not only for, you know, abusive trial strategies, but just PvE in general. If you're rolling with a team of Stormcallers, or I mean really anybody, but Stormcallers are especially able to abuse it thanks to that newly fixed Electrostatic Mind. I mean, you could just roll through enemies like they're nothing. You know, if they throw, you know, thanks to no longer having to support last gen, if they want to throw 40 or 50 enemies on the screen, it doesn't matter if you've got three Stormcallers running one after the other. You know, stacking those orbs up, it'd be insane. So, curious to see how effective that is.
We'll just have to wait and see, I suppose. But and the final one is Memory of Temur. Temur? Temur's Lash? Yes, Temur. And it describes Temur as creepy and misunderstood. So it says that you melee an enemy in PvE, low-level enemies only, and it will actually turn that enemy against his fellows. So you melee a dreg, and the dreg turns around and starts shooting at all of his other dregs. And then you can either melee him again, which corrects them, and they'll start shooting at you. I don't know why you would melee them twice. Or the effect expires after 30 seconds. So that one, not useful at all in PvP, although when I first read it, thought it'd be really funny if you meleeed an enemy and it switched all of the colors of enemies and friendlies on their screen. But obviously they're not going to do that. But so that one's not useful at all for PvP, but could be at least pretty funny in PvE. I don't know how useful it'll actually be, but
I imagine it'll see pretty significant use in PvE in terms of just you know, trying to solo content. I could see it being pretty handy. I think the reason that you might melee them a second time is that if they're designated an ally, you probably can't damage them. And so if they're the only one left, you want to punch them again before it expires so that you can finish them off.
Oh, that actually might make sense. I didn't think of that. I just figured they would be on your team, but you could kill them. And they would have that brief moment of betrayal where they question why their friend is killing them. But that actually makes more sense now.
Yeah, that's my theory. So we'll see how that pans out. But I could definitely see it being a handy solo item. If you want to run in with invisibility, melee a group of enemies, and then go hide while they fight their friends.
Basically kill each other for 30 seconds.
Yeah, might make things a little easier for you. And they all turn back, and you've got half as many adds to take out. So.
And if you're a Blade Dancer, you just do it again.
All right, so basically, out of those eight artifacts, seven out of the eight can be used in PvP. Obviously, the Memory of Temur will not be used in PvP. But the other seven out of the eight, they all have an effect that can be used in PvP. I think the one that's going to have the biggest effect on actual gameplay is probably pretty obviously Fellwinter. Just because losing a super, but double grenades, double melees, better stats all around. I think that's going to just lead to some crazy, crazy gameplay moments. I'm looking forward to using it myself, honestly. I think Radagast is a gimmick, like you said, Cougar. It's not really going to be game breaking, although it will be funny to bounce people's shots back at them.
It'll make for great montage.
Yeah. It'll be the what's the guy's name? The Destiny Fun Police guy. I can almost guarantee that he will be using that. He embarrasses people with suppression grenades and bubbles, and now his bouncing sword. Memory of Perun, where it highlights full super enemies yellow, low health enemies red. I think that's useful. I don't think it's going to see a ton of use, just because I think there are like better options out there.
Well, the other thing with that one too is you can actually already see if somebody has a charged super. You have to pay a little bit of attention, like it's not going to be obvious, and it sounds like this just makes it really obvious, like, hey, that guy's glowing yellow, don't, you know, if he's charging you, run away.
I think the real advantage that's going to come from that one is not the super awareness. It's going to be a great tool for team shooting. You're not going to have to call out a target necessarily if you've got a group running that. Your team is going to know who to focus on, and then they can move on. It's a great tool for team shooting in general. It's a great tool for learning team shooting.
I think it's going to help lower skill players a little bit more than higher skill players. Yeah. And I say this because when I play currently, having played for, you know, many hundreds of hours, I'm not surprised when I get supered anymore. I kind of know the time periods where supers are going to be popping. I kind of know if a Titan is charging straight at me or a Warlock is charging straight at me. Like, I kind of know when supers are going to be killed. I'm very rarely surprised by supers, is I guess what I'm trying to say. So I don't think it would help me that much to see a supered enemy that's yellow, because, you know, with most Hunter supers, if you hear it pop, you can run away. Same thing with Stormcaller, same thing with Hammer Titans. You know, if you see a Striker Titan charging straight at you, not even attempting to bring their gun to bear, you pretty much know what they're going to do. The same thing if you see a Voidwalker Warlock blink above your head, you pretty much know what they're going to do. And the same thing with low health enemies. Really good teams are already communicating that type of stuff, and it kind of works the same way with Third Eye. Like, you don't see really, really high level players running Third Eye all the time, because they're already so good that they don't need it. They can use another perk in a spot, and I think that's the way it's going to be with this artifact. I think it's going to help players who are getting to that level by making it a little bit easier for them, but I don't think you're going to see many really, really high level players using it.
I would think that the two, aside from Felwinter, that we might see a lot of, are going to be Memory of Gellion and Memory of Skorri. And reminder for listening, that's detailed radar, and then the super recharge.
I think you're going to see Jolter as much as both of those as well, though. Removing the sprint cooldown.
Yeah, I think a lot of, any kind of warrior players are going to be really happy to just sprint endlessly. That's absolutely true.
Yep, any of those players who are already playing that run as fast as you can, push, 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 play it style, and who aren't Titan skating at this point in time are going to be loving Memory of Jolter. Myself, personally, I probably won't be using it that much because I don't find myself very often sprint locked, because I guess I understand when I'm going to get sprint locked and when I'm not, and I try to avoid those situations. So for me, I don't think I'd be using Memory of Jolter that much, but I know how much the community hates the sprint lock, and I know how much every single person is going to get the Memory of Jolter and just feel like they are unburdened, like they are finally free of the awful, awful sprint lock.
Yeah.
So I think that one is going to be seen a lot. Like you said, Skorri, but I think Skorri is such a specialist thing that you will see it, but I think probably Jolter is going to be more popular than Skorri, in my opinion. And I think Gellion probably will be too. Gellion's just an all-around, like, it's just a useful perk.
Yeah, honestly, the same way that I said our first one, what was that, Radagast? I think Skorri's is going to end up being a gimmick in the same vein as Radagast. It'll be useful with a playstyle or two, but it's not going to be a general-use artifact.
It'll be a slightly more powerful gimmick, though, to be fair.
I think it depends on the exact level of the recharge. I mean, if it's you know, a moderately powerful effect, I would expect to even see it a lot in things like Control, where you're often grouped up. Or we've got this new game mode that we'll get to that encourages grouping as well. And I think that's actually one reason I think that Skorri might might be valuable.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. And then I'm trying to think what else. And then the memory of Silmar with the dramatically reduced DOT. I don't see that one being super effective, really, just because, I mean, Thorn's not as powerful as it once was.
True, but if it gets a buff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't buff it, honestly, because, I mean, God, no, please, no. I don't want the Thorn meta to come back in force. That would be my worst nightmare. They're like, oh, we're bringing Thorn to year 3, and we're buffing it. Enjoy your green glowing screen all the time. But I don't think that DOT, you know, I think that'll be for people who really, really hate burning down. And I think they'll be the ones who use it. But for everyone else, it'll kind of just be, I think there's better options. And the Galeon one, I wanted to say this before and I forgot about, but the Galeon, why do I say that? The Galeon's one, I think, is going to be in the same vein as Memory of Perun, where for, you know, lower moving to higher level players, it's really, really useful. But for really high level players, it doesn't matter if they have their radar when they're aiming down sights on their primary, because they're aiming down sights and popping back out so quickly that they're already really aware of what the radar is going to show. You know, so they're never sitting there ADS for 5 seconds staring at a corner.
Yeah.
Just waiting for someone with a primary. So I don't think that's going to be used by super high level players, but I think for the majority of the population, it's going to be something that's just really useful to have.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up hurting someone who's looking to reach higher levels of skill more than it helps them, because third eye is seen as a crutch perk. When you lose it, suddenly you play much worse.
I guess I'm looking at it not even so much for the third eye effect, like that's kind of a bonus for me, but it's the keen scout
radar
effect.
Is huge.
That's you know, when I'm playing on my Night Stalker, I just find that really helpful, because you always know exactly where everyone is at around you, and you don't have to be looking around for them. You can track them, you know, out of the corner of your eye. So I don't want to underestimate it. You know, we'll see how it plays out, but...
So, what about the new Iron Banner, the way it's been reinvented? We've got 4 new maps. No more tempered buff. They're lowering the rep needed to rank up.
Mm-hmm.
So, along with that, in conjunction with that, there's not going to be any more rep bonuses from gear, and I'm really happy about that, because I think the shaders are fugly.
I would absolutely agree. I think I legitimately play worse when I wear those ugly shaders on my characters. I think people see me running and they're like, God, that is such an ugly person. I want to kill him more than I normally would. Because, like, they see my hunter and they're like, damn, that's a good-looking hunter. I kind of don't want to kill him. And then I get the jump on them. But when I'm rocking million, it's gross.
Yeah, it definitely always throws off my vibe, especially when I'm rocking green chroma and I have to switch to million. I'm just like,
And then you're like debating, is it worth changing the color of my chroma to look better, or will I just look really, really ugly for this entire week?
It's more like I'm debating, is it worth the rep bonus, or can I just grind it out?
Exactly.
I'm really glad they're taking away that. There's still going to be the rubber banding effect, though, for your alternate characters. So once you get your first one up there, your second and third ones will be easier, which is a good thing.
Definitely.
I think.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
That would have made things a real pain. But basically what it seems like they're doing is they're making Iron Banner just more accessible to the casual player. And the great thing is that even the hardcore players aren't going to argue about this, because they're still going to be getting way more drops than everyone else. They're still going to be getting chances for the perfect rolls and everything like that. But at the same time, Saladin's always been very good about selling great rolls on the guns he sells.
Very true.
So it's going to make it a little bit easier for that person who maybe can only play a couple days out of the week to get to rank 5 and pick some of those things up.
Speaking of easier drops, now each bounty completed is going to reward you with a weapon or armor piece, correct?
Oh yeah, that's an awesome update.
I mean, overall, just it seems like they have really listened to the community and made some good quality of life updates for Rise of Iron. It's, you know, they're keeping the momentum from the Taken King going, is what it seems like they're doing. And they didn't screw up the infusion thing. It's still 1-to-1. anything that's come out with a Taken King or later can be brought up. Class items, you know, it's just these are the quality of life updates that we've constantly wanted to see from Bungie, and it finally seems like they're building on top of them and just making the entire game's infrastructure better.
Yeah.
Yep, they got a good start with, I guess, what we're calling it the Taken Spring, the Challenge of the Elders update. They got a good start with the quality of life there, and it looks like they are really building on it instead of taking a step back.
Yeah, speaking of, I guess I want to maybe put two more things out there for discussion. Speaking of like the advancement, I just want to make sure we mention that the new light level caps for anyone who has missed it, it's going to be 385 as of the launch, and then when hard mode drops a few weeks later, it's going to be going up to 400. So for the PvE players, the raid drops on the 23rd, so we have 4 days to get ready for our world's first attempts. I'm assuming everyone who plays Destiny is going to be attempting that this year. So,
interesting.
Nope, nobody.
I don't know. It depends how many of my friends come back for Rise of Iron, which I assume will be all of them. But King's Fall was actually the first time I did a raid in like a timely manner with an expansion. It took me until the Moments of Triumph to do Atheon and Crota. And you know what I actually found is that I actually found I really, really enjoyed Crota. And that's a tangent for another day, but I just remember hearing people bitch about it on the subreddit so often that I went into it thinking I was going to hate it, and I found it to be a really, really enjoyable raid, honestly.
I was just going to say, I don't want to get into too much of an old raid tangent, but there's mixed opinions on that, more than you would get from Reddit and the other forums. But so the other thing I wanted to throw out there, just I guess, Cougar, did you have anything to add regarding the raid? We didn't really get any details on the raid in the article, other than that it's called Wrath of the Machine and the theme is Collision.
Yeah, not really. I don't have anything to say about the raid. I am curious to see what this increase to light level brings us, with the fact that it's going to be increasing 50 and then 15 more to a total of 65. I'm assuming that our tiers on Intellect, Discipline, and Strength will go up the numbers for the tiers. So I'm curious to see if we're still going to have tier 12 as an available option if the thresholds are going to raise.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, actually. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that seems likely. I know I saw in the article, it sounds like greens and blues are getting a light level increase. Blues potentially going up into the 350 range, with legendaries being higher than that. So they could potentially get away with keeping the ability scale not too much higher than it is now, but hard to say.
Oh man, all those people who go through and do the tier 12 calculators are going to be crunching some numbers when this thing first comes out to see what they can get.
Oh, they will. This is going to be it could potentially drop us back to tier 11 being the maximum, or it could even go further to tier 13 being possible. Yeah. I highly doubt it, but it could happen.
I think tier 12 is a good thing for the game. It keeps people involved in chasing something else too. It's not something that's necessary. You know, I'm the person who's always going to pick a tier 11 with the perks I want over a tier 12 without them. But that tier 12 chase kept a lot of people in the game trying to get those perfectly rolled armor pieces.
Oh yeah. And it kept me going for longer because exactly what you said, I would rather have the tier 11 with the perks I want than having tier 12 with nothing. So it took me forever to get to the point where I had tier 12 for everything on my warlock with the perks I wanted. And I took quite a while building that collection.
But did you look good?
I always look good.
There you go. Straight from the cougar's mouth, he always looks good.
So guys, I think we're getting off on a little bit of a tangent. I want to jump back into some of the Crucible updates, because I think there's some stuff we need to dissect here. First off, I wanted to maybe just briefly mention the new maps for anybody who has not heard about them yet, and then I want to talk about Supremacy, if you guys are up for it.
Oh, yes.
So the new maps are The Last Exit, which takes us back to the Ishtar Sink on Venus, to a ruined subway station, and Outdoor Plaza, which apparently falls off straight into the ocean, so that should be pretty exciting.
Oh yeah, I get to walk off more cliffs.
Yeah, mix of tubes and tunnels, along with an outdoor area, so that should be some interesting tactical decisions.
Not for me. I'll shotgun inside just like I shotgun outside.
Cougar, you're a guardian after my own heart. Floating Gardens is a Vex shrine also on Venus where the mysterious aliens go apparently to recycle themselves. So that's very green of Bungie to bring that into the game. The strange milky substance inside of them flows like a waterfall from the shrine. So I guess we'll have an opportunity to bathe in Vex fluids as we fight on a bridge.
To bathe in the Vex milk, something that I know every Guardian has wanted to do for a long time.
I can check that one off my bucket list.
Speak right now.
We've also got Skyline, a map set on Mars. Sounds like it's some kind of a like shipping and receiving area for Clovis Bray, with a vista looking out over the buried city. There's also an elevated rail car on one end of the map and a massive floating hologram of the planet Mars and the Traveler in the center. So lots going on that map. I just want to know, you know, is there an elevated rail line that we're going to be able to get up onto to be complete jerks about sniping?
Even if there's not, someone will find a spot.
Someone will find a way. They'll climb out of the map, undoubtedly, and snipe and be invincible.
It's like that, was it the Jeff Goldblum thing, like, life finds a way, but in Destiny, it's hardscopers. Yeah. Hardscopers find a way.
Always. So that's the four that everybody gets. And then we've got one that Mercules does not get to play on, and that is Icarus.
My favorite
perk. Damn you, Sony.
Just close your ears on this one. This is a solar collection site on Mercury. There's a raised structure with an arena, or called the arena, at the center of a much larger crater-like array. Yeah, so basically just a big Thunderdome, sounds like. We'll all be funneled straight into the middle to shotgun each other.
So hopefully that is just as terrible as, what, Sector 613 or something like that?
618. I love 618. I don't care what people say.
And I won't be upset. I'll finally get to play on it in about a month, counting down the days.
You can tell us in September how much you hate it, along with everyone else.
You never know. You never know. I might love it. People hated Exodus Blue, and I actually think Exodus Blue is a pretty cool map. So
are we ready to move on to Supremacy?
Let's talk Supremacy.
The Supremacy is a new mode, which is, I guess, most comparable to Call of Duty's, was it Kill Confirmed?
Yes.
Or for something from Bungie's own background, it's kind of similar to Headhunter. Not exactly the same, a little bit more simple. But basically, it mixes objectives with slaying, where if you kill somebody, they drop what looks to be like a little tiny Ingram. And if you get killed, you drop a little tiny Ingram. And the only way your score goes up is if you pick up the enemy team's Ingrams when they die. But if their team picks them up, you guys don't get the score, or you don't get the score for the kill. So, and one of the things that I think is really, really obvious about this game type is it's going to kind of punish hardscoping snipers who stay really far away from everything. Because they are no longer going to be getting any points for their team unless there is a really aggressive member of their team up there picking up all of the little pods that drop from the enemies that they snipe. And they even said that. I think they had a quote somewhere in here where he said, "I really like that Supremacy changes the engagement ranges a lot. If you take someone out from a distance, you have to close in to get the score." And that's, you know, it's going to reward shotgun play a lot. But you got to think, if you're trading shotguns, instead of each team getting points, neither team might end up getting
That's
points,
exactly,
you know?
What I was thinking. It's going to punish a too aggressive playstyle just as much as it will punish a playstyle that's too passive.
Yeah, I was going to say about that quote, I don't think this is really going to change my engagement range a whole lot. But it definitely adds a unique element. They talk about how it really encourages playing in a team, and they talk about clumping or grouping. I think it's going to more reward teams that stay within kind of a coordinated distance of each other. You don't want to group up, obviously, as you know, in any grouping situation like Rift or Control, you can open yourself up to a super.
Such as Fist of Panic.
Yeah, you know, the classic. Fist of Panic, Nova Bomb, any of those team wiping abilities. But I think it will really reward teams that communicate and that stay, you know, within short range of each other so that they can be picking up each other's crests if somebody trades. There's going to be a lot of strategy that, you know, I know people on Crucible Playbook and other, you know, Crucible-centered forums and discussions are going to be really breaking down a lot as we lead up to Rise of Iron. So I look forward to hearing the bright ideas people have about how to play this mode.
One more thing I wanted to clarify about these crests that will drop on a kill. If you pick up one that drops from your teammate, you don't get any points for that. It just denies the points to the other team.
Yep, so one of the things that I found interesting, though, is they said there's three variations
of it. Oh, yeah.
There's a standard 6v6, there's Inferno, and there's Free-for-All. So I'm wondering if it's going to be one of the rotating playlists that comes in, as opposed to an entire separate node that's there all the time, like Rift and Clash and things like that. I mean, I think it could be, and then Inferno could be the one that rotates in. But if it is, it would be the first time we would have a new Free-for-All playlist added in.
Yeah, that's really going to change up Rumble. And they talk about that a little, that it sounds like you can actually score by stealing crests from other people's kills. It could just be that you're just denying points to them. It's a little unclear. But that's going to be very interesting.
You know, I'd have to think that it would be that it stops the other person from getting points and not that it gives you points. Because it'd be really kind of weird if you could go an entire game just stealing other people's crest and win the entire game, you know?
Yeah, it's not a kill that you made personally. It's somebody else's. So it's probably going to work on the point denial.
That'd be more consistent. I just think it'd be interesting. I guess we'll have to see. Maybe they'll clarify at some point here.
Cool. And the most important thing, is that what we're going to talk about? The one major change coming to the Crucible that they haven't pulled back the curtain on?
One actually last note on Supremacy. They did say that the first Iron Banner in Rise of Iron will be Supremacy. So if you think it sounds like a game mode that you're not that interested in, I'd recommend giving it a try anyway.
Yeah, you'll want to be... You want to get used to it.
Yeah.
Time for the Iron Banner.
Got to be bold. Try the new thing. So.
All right. Well, on to the thing that I'm the most excited about, probably for no reason, because knowing Bungie, they're going to hype this thing up, and then it's going to turn out to be something super lame that no one actually asked for. But Bungie has proclaimed that there's one more major change coming to the Crucible when Rise of Iron drops. They have said that they're not going to reveal it. But according to the article, when they were pressed, they expressed enthusiasm for the way the new feature continues to evolve player expectations for Crucible play. And Lars Bakken, I believe, said himself, Rise of Iron, and this is a direct quote, Rise of Iron includes the introduction of a long-awaited feature our community has been clamoring for. End quote. So we were talking earlier about this, and we came up with three things that we thought the community has been clamoring for that deal with Crucible for a long time. It was map voting, ranked playlist, and custom games. And based off the quote preceding that, where it said the new feature can continue to evolve player expectations for Crucible play, I do not think that map voting would evolve player expectations for shit at all in the game. Map voting is just a nice little luxury that people would like to have, but it's not that big of a deal. And if it were map voting, I don't know why they wouldn't have just told us right now. So I don't think it's map voting, which leaves us ranked playlist and custom games.
And looking at this from a business perspective, purely from the point of what will gain the most profit, I think the smart business move is custom matches, because that gives a competitive scene that is very, very small right now. That would give it a chance to really bloom, to set up tournaments without having to do sweaty matchmaking.
Yeah, and we know, too, kind of on a related note, Activision, the publisher, is huge into the competitive esports scene. They have invested millions upon millions of dollars into building esports in North America. And Destiny is a flagship product line for them. There's a huge audience of players playing PvP right now who are not participating in esports when they play Destiny. So I have to think that there's going to be some investor pressure that has been pushing Bungie and Activision in this direction for a very long time. The community aside, you know, I guess that's really compelling to me to, you know, give me a hope that I really hope doesn't get dashed on the 16th of August here.
And our other option, Mercules, would you like to take that one, the ranked playlist?
The ranked playlist is something that I've pushed for a long time in Destiny, but as far as it goes right now at this point in time, I don't know if it would be the best idea. Ranked playlist is going to split the amount of people that we have currently playing PvP, and I don't think it's going to do as much to bring people back into the game. You know, you hear, oh, Destiny has ranked playlists now, you think, yeah, that's pretty cool. But you hear Destiny has custom games now, and you think, oh shit, Destiny's into your Xbox or PS4, you're back playing the game, all your friends are back playing the game. I mean, like you said, from a business standpoint, bar none, custom games is the best decision at this point in time. And the fact of the matter is, people have gotten so good at the sweaty matchmaking thing that tournaments pop up all the time anyways, and it's frankly a little bit embarrassing that's how tournaments have to be played for a game the size and stature of Destiny.
It really is.
I mean, it seems ridiculous to me. So if it's not custom games, I think they're doing themselves a disservice and their community a disservice by continuing to keep it out of the game. So fingers crossed, let's just hope that it is custom games and nothing else. Although those other two things may be a possibility, let's hope that it's just custom games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I'm concerned that it's something else, but I really hope, especially in the follow-up from this article, that if it's not going to be private lobbies or custom games or something that accomplishes that same goal, that they come out and tell us ahead of time and don't let the hype train run out of control and crash into the station.
They're always good with their words. They always choose what they say wisely. And the way they phrase this makes it sound like custom games.
Yeah.
On a side note to that, please feel free to leave feedback if there is something that the community has been asking for in PvP that we failed to mention that would also belong on that top list.
That's a good idea, because we could be totally blanking on something that's super obvious that the community has been asking for a long time. But those were just the three things that we came up with that we thought it might be. So if you guys have a different idea, then definitely let us know, because we don't want to be the ones who send the hype train into overload on custom games and we've totally missed something like really, really obvious that it could have been.
Yep, I don't want to see the mob with torches and pitchforks behind me.
So, yeah, moving on from that a little bit to probably one of the most interesting reveals or parts of this reveal is the news of the exotic Kostov auto rifle can now be fired with multiple rounds per minute, either 450 or 900. It can be fired in burst, it can be fired in semi-auto, it can be fired in full auto. And we didn't get to see the other perk options, so we don't know how much more customization there is. But he said that there were, around 100 possibilities based just off those things. So we'll see. My theory is that, and I know you guys don't agree with me, but my theory is that it's just going to be an auto rifle, but you can fire it in a burst or you can fire it semi-auto, but I don't think the damage is going to change just because I can see how incredibly complicated it would get if you made it fire like a scout rifle, the damages change, and then you change the rate of fire, and then the damages changed again, and then you fired it like a pulse rifle, and the damages changed, and I can see how confusing it would get, and it would kind of make it a weird jack-of-all-trades gun, I guess, which maybe is what they're going for. So I might be totally wrong on that, but I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, one thing that jumped out at me, they mentioned specifically in the Game Informer article, they said, do the math, and there are more than 100 combinations to try on this single gun. So I did a little bit of math and worked out that, you know, if we're going to multiply the columns that they give us, you know, 3 times 2 being 6. If we're going to get up to 100, given normal perk columns generally have 2 or 3 perks, there have to be at least 2 other perk columns for us to clear 100 options. Both of which, I believe, should have 3 perks in them selectable. So we're looking at least 4 perk columns, potentially more. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of theory crafting, a lot of real crafting and testing going on. And I look forward to getting in on that and trying to work out the best possible options, however the gun works, ultimately. I do think, and I don't know what your stance is on this, Cougar, I do think that we're going to have the option to make the Khvostov into our choice of an auto rifle, pulse rifle, or scout rifle. And then tweak the other stats to basically match whatever archetype we want to put it into.
I'm hoping that's what it is. I think that would be a very, very interesting choice to make, really. An interesting decision you'd have to make every time you equipped that gun. But the main worry I have is that we're either going to see it have not enough of a base stat to make it good. Say you wanted to use it as a pulse rifle and the stability is just too low to land consistent headshots, or you want to use it as a scout rifle and the range is too low to consistently land headshots. I'm worried that it's either going to be not good enough to take into PvP and use consistently, and it's going to be stuck on the PvE side, or that it's going to be too good and it's going to take over the meta just by virtue of being able to be any gun in the game. So if they could find the balance that is necessary for that, I think it would be great. But I'm worried about it being too far to one side of the scale or the other.
And that's why I don't think that it will be the type of jack of all trades gun where it can be a pulse rifle, a scout rifle, an auto rifle, because of the fact that if it were good, it would become the only gun. And if it's not good and it's bad, then it's a useless gun, you know? Whereas if it is just an auto rifle that has the ability to select fire without becoming a scout rifle, without becoming a pulse rifle, I think you can make it into a good auto rifle that has a lot of customization. And that's just the reason, I think, because I think it's impossible to balance it if it goes the other way. It's either going to be too good and dominate everything or bad and useless. And I don't want to see it be that because, I mean, they just had that issue, like you said, with the Fabian strategy, where it's a gun that isn't the best of either world, so no one uses it.
Yeah, those are definitely legitimate concerns. And that's something I'm a little bit worried about as well, that it's going to either be completely broken or just broken. Just not work at all. You know, I mean, we'll see exactly what our options are. You know, as somebody who loves customizing and loves, you know, hunting through perk trees to find the perfect combination, this just sounds like a dream gun, and I really hope that it lives up to that promise.
All right.
Well, Cougar, you want to talk about the other exotics then?
I want to talk about one thing in particular that I've been waiting for since the Taken King was announced. You know, I main a warlock. And every time I get an exotic boots Ingram, I get sad. Because it doesn't matter what character I decoded on, I'm not getting any boots from our warlock. But, good news, and hopefully we don't get burned with this, like we did before. Warlocks are getting exotic boots. I can't tell you how excited I am for that, even if they are awful. My warlock can have exotic boots.
Yeah, yep. All the travelers' warlocks need shoes. That's
the only issue I have with that is you can barely see warlock boots under a lot of their like chest pieces that they have, because they're like, I don't know what you call them, capes or cloaks or whatever it is, are so long that you can't even see a lot of the warlock legs.
I believe they're called dresses.
Oh, you're right. There you go. That's the proper term.
Yeah. Speaking as a voidwalker, I should know.
All right. Well, that's basically it as far as like really, really major stuff. There's a few other things that I think we can go over right before we close this out. There's the Archon's Forge, which they described as a Thunderdome-esque battle that's right in the middle of Court of Oryx, which is just one boss, and the Challenge of the Elders, which is multiple waves. They said it's about 5 minutes long. It's wave-based, and it ends with a boss, so it's, like, right in the middle there, which could be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I hope it's more like Challenge of the Elders and less like Prison of the Elders, in my own personal opinion. They're changing the way Strike playlist and Nightfalls drop Strike-specific
loot.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
They actually... Yeah, which is good because now it can be guaranteed, but they actually drop something called a Skeleton Key, and you use it at the end of the strike. Your choice of strike that you want to use it at, you use it at the end of the strike and a chest, and it will spawn what's called a strike horde. And basically, when you finish off the strike horde, it's guaranteed to supply you one of the strike unique either weapons or armor pieces for that exact strike, which I think is a really, really cool way to go about that type of specific gear. They are bringing the Rise of Iron record book into play, which is very similar to the Sparrow Racing League record book and the Year 2 Moments of Triumph mm-hmm. record book. And they wanted to be very specific that this was account-wide, not character-based. So if you do something on a Hunter, it also unlocks it on your Warlock or your Titan or whatever else it is, which I think is really cool. You don't have to run through everything on all three characters. You can just do it once and get all the rewards for
yeah.
it.
And to be clear, this is how you get the Iron Lord armor, correct?
Correct. Along
yes.
with some emblems
yes.
and shader, and the Song of Iron Ghost, I think is what it's called.
Yep, I believe that's correct. And they're also bringing, speaking of Ghost, they're also bringing Faction Ghost and Faction
yes.
Sparrows into play to match up with the new faction armor. They did confirm that all of the vendors, Dead Orbit, New Monarchy, Future War Cult, Vanguard, and Crucible, all have full new sets of armor, as they have with every expansion, but this one too, even though they haven't shown them yet. And for those of you who are interested in the, you know, physical flair, making your guardians look pretty, ornaments are a new thing that's coming out. And they actually affect, not like chroma affects color, they actually affect the geometry of your various armor pieces. I think the example they gave was you could add fur to stuff, you could add like huge shoulder pieces to things, and those do come from something called Radiant Treasure, which very similar to the Sterling Treasures that we're getting now, they are unlocked from game activities, or you can actually buy them with microtransactions.
I want some Warhammer pauldrons.
One other thing that really jumped out at me about ornamentation is that it can affect weapons as well. There will be exotic weapon ornaments, and it sounds like possibly legendary weapon ornaments. But they specifically talked about applying ornaments to Invective and Monte Carlo in the article.
And making one of the games look like Sleeper Simulator,
yeah.
I believe, is the thing.
Yeah, they said one of the guns you could make look like. They didn't specify which, but yeah. So that
My
sounds
guess
awesome.
Would be Invective.
And the last couple things that I guess we're going to talk about, it says the survivors was one of the points of this article. And it says, those of you who have paid attention to the lore know that there were 10 Iron Lords. And 8 of them sacrificed themselves while sealing away Siva. And Saladin still comes to visit us every month. But there's one Iron Lord left who was not talked about sacrificing themselves and who we've never seen, and it's Ephrodite, the sniper. We all know her from the wonderful Ephrodite spear with... Final Round,
Final
which was
round.
So incredibly popular in the Crucible back in early year one. But they say they will be exploring her mystery very shortly in the game. And talking about that stuff for the future of Destiny, Festival of the Lost is coming back in October, and Sparrow Racing League is coming back in December. So two more things to look forward
Exciting
to.
Exciting news.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think we have literally covered now everything of importance, at least everything that I took notes of, in the article that came out. And the wonderful thing about it is this was only, what, the first day of their reveals, and they've got them planned out for the whole duration of the month.
Yeah, leading up to the huge, hopefully huge, Crucible reveals at Gamescom. Game Informer says they'll be revealing stuff on the 16th, so technically right before Gamescom starts. So we should know whether the custom games dream comes true or if we've got something else that we've all been clamoring for.
fingers crossed for custom games. Everybody listening, cross your fingers as well.
Yep. Don't we have to do like a prayer circle thing? Didn't that work one of the times with Xur selling something at some point in time? I say we do a prayer circle for custom games. Try to get
everybody
that going.
Join hands and
dear RNGesus, Jesus, please bless us with custom games this 16th of August, or I swear to God, I'm never playing Destiny ever again until the next day.
Amen.
All right, well, I think that is it for this Massive Breakdown podcast. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we hit all the points I wanted to talk about. There's so much in that article. If you haven't, considered grabbing a subscription, gosh, this convinced me too. So,
or you can buy the single article for $5 too. I think $4 or $5. So you can buy just this one magazine if you want to do that, which I actually thought about doing. But then I was like, you know, this is actually a really well-written article. And not only that, the magazine itself is really well put together. So I was like, all right, I'll subscribe to it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, full disclosure, we did not get any money for saying that.
You didn't? Oh, wait, no. I didn't either, obviously.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, I didn't get paid.
Wait, we're supposed to make money from this?
Damn, don't I wish, though. Then I wouldn't have to go get a real job at the end of the summer.
Seriously.
Then I wouldn't have to still have a real job the whole time.
Well, we'll set up that GoFundMe, and if you guys get us $1 million in the next month, I think we'll probably be good to keep making this great Destiny content for you guys. Just a small loan of $1 million.
Shoot, man, I'd be happy with 100. Anyway, 10?
Yeah, it's $1.
I'm bad at negotiating. All right,
let's close this out.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That is it. We are done for this week. Next week, hopefully, we'll see you and we'll bring you the auto rifle class breakdown. But until then, I'm Mercules, Kutcha, and Cougar here as well, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later. You'll see Kit and I tomorrow for our weekly Arms Day reviews. Well, you'll see us today.
That was this morning.
Because it'll be out. It'll be out tomorrow, which will be today by the time.
So this is exactly. You'll see us a couple hours ago. Talking Arms Day stuff.
I don't time travel well.
I need a beer.
Yeah, this hurts my
it's
head.
It's like the Exo Stranger screwing up all this stuff.
And man, good luck editing this half hour podcast that it turned out to be an hour.
Have fun.